We're just good for nothing. They all figure a boy should grown up shiftless jitter. Now we can't hardly stand for that.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
In the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Certainly appreciate all of the people who support me. One second, I got to send a message. There we go. Oh, there we go. By the way, we're doing this thing, and I'm checking out my main man, Luke. We do hand signals. We do give each other the thumbs up, thumbs down, how many callers, all that kind of stuff. So there we go. There's Luke. There's, Kalia hanging out. And Luke, poor old brain's mushing away on me. Anyway, we got plenty to talk about. And Kalia and I have a good time. And once again, I want to thank everybody, because when we do have fun drive, you know, people call in and they really help keep WPFW on the air. We're not in fun drive right now, but I just want to take the time to thank everybody because, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe my show's a little smidgen bit controversial, you know, if you are a member of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, one of those two parties, you're probably going to take offense to some of the things I say, which I think is a good thing, because I'm a member of neither party and I have nothing but disdain for the organized parties in the United States, nothing but contempt for the organized parties. And I say this. If you are a member of the party, I'm the first you need to listen to. You need to listen to people who are outside of that paradigm, people who've had it with both of those parties, people who say, I'm going to look at things a little bit differently. Because if you're a member of an organization or a group, that organization or group has a particular perspective, and you tend to end up, you know, caught up in that perspective. And it's very, very good to listen to people outside of your perspective. It's very good to listen to people to make, like I always say, I go to the gym. You know, I go to the gym to make myself uncomfortable. You do not grow when you're comfortable. You grow when you're uncomfortable. If somebody needs, let's say psychotherapy. I always say this, there's only two kinds of people. People who need therapy and don't get it, and people who don't get it and need it, which is basically the same. Most everybody's got our issues. We all got our issues and things like that. And we all need therapy. So we all need to make ourselves. And you go to therapy and they start asking you, so tell me, why are you angry at your mother? And you think about it. Oh, no, I didn't realize I was angry at my mother. You know what I'm saying? You're uncomfortable. That's a good thing. Right. Why do you feel like your brothers and sisters always were the chosen child and you felt like you were in the background, the black sheep of the family, dare I say, and you start feeling uncomfortable, things like that. Right. That's how you grow. Make yourself uncomfortable and listen to somebody like me. If you're a diehard Democrat or diehard Republican or a Trump supporter or a Trump hater, whatever it is, listen to somebody every now and then who has a different perspective. It's good for you. And that's why I always say I like for people to call that disagree with me. It makes me a little uncomfortable. Well, not so much anymore, because I like to hear that. That's where I grow. That's the growth zone, right? Is when you deal with people who disagree with you. Let's go. I start talking about a couple things here before we get going. We'll start with Epstein. Here's what's interesting about the whole Epstein thing. And that is, in America, really important subjects always get redirected to persons, to individuals. Now, what is the Epstein thing now? What is the big, oh, look online, what is it? Trump was in the Epstein papers. No, Trump wasn't in the Epstein papers. Trump's just trying to stop this because he's in Epstein papers and he don't want to be outed. Why didn't Trump do this? Why didn't Trump do this? Should Trump do that? Shouldn't Trump do that? Here's what I have to say. Let me give you my perspective on the whole Epstein. From all that we've researched, from all that we've looked at, let's think about this for a second. What is the issue with Epstein and why is it important? Something is very, very clear here. Alex Acosta, who was trying to get into the Trump administration, was questioned. And when questioned, What he was asked was this: hey, you're in Florida, and old Epstein got caught child rape, child trafficking, all kinds of terrible things. You know, the things that you get life in jail for. And he got a sweetheart deal. And he didn't even like spend any time in jail. He walked nothing. He barely got a slap on the wrist for child sexual trafficking and rape. Can you explain that, Alex Acosta? And Alex Acosta said, I was told that he's intelligence. Leave it alone. Now, what else do we know about Epstein? Epstein started off as a teacher at this highly prestigious school called the Dalton School. And he was hired by a guy who ran it, whose son, Bill Barr, would eventually become the attorney general under Trump. Bill Barr's father ran the Dalton School, and he hired Epstein at this prestigious school. But there's one thing strange about hiring Epstein. This is a prestigious high school, prestigious, where rich folks go, where you got to have the finest education. And they hired Epstein to teach. He didn't have a college degree. Doesn't that seem a little strange to you? That some prestigious, highfalutin school would hire a guy that didn't have a college degree. And then he became what we've told is a director of people's money, a money exchanger, a money something or other. And he was worth billions of dollars. But here's the problem. Let's say he was worth billions. He spent it like he was worth hundreds of billions. Okay, so you're a billionaire. But can you afford an island? I saw the island. I stood on the shores of St. John's in the Virgin Islands, and a guy pointed and said, see that island right there? I said, yeah. He said, that's Epstein Island. I said, holy jumping Jehoshaphat. That's Epstein Island. He said, yep, I looked at it. I'm like, okay, wow, that's kind of scary. But do you know how much it would cost to buy an island in the Caribbean? And he had a gigantic ranch compound in New Mexico. And he had the biggest, most expensive townhouse in like the Upper East Side, worth like 50, 60 million. He spent money. Supposedly, he's a billionaire. He spent money like he was a trillionaire. He spent money like a country spends money. And you know, Jamie Dimon, who's in charge of J.P. Morgan, did you know J.P. Morgan ended up paying $290 million out to Epstein victims because of their involvement and Jamie Dimon's involvement in Epstein? And that he was laundering money through J.P. Morgan. Whatever happened to that? Laundering money through J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, $290 million. Nobody was charged. And let me add this about the so-called Epstein list. I wouldn't call it a list. Let me tell you why. Say this again, for those who don't know, my background is this stuff. I was an investigator in a police department, but I was a commander of investigations. I taught investigations. I worked with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. Trust me, I know this stuff. So what we actually have, rather than per se a list, is I believe my understanding is 200 to 250, 220 various interviews that the FBI did, where they interviewed women. And the women said, this happened to me. This guy did this. And they named a lot of names of very famous and powerful people, young girls. Well, I was 13 and was forced to have sex, or, you know, cajoled into having sex with this rich and powerful man. And we did this and that and this and that, right? So rather than just have a list, they have case after case after case where young girls, often below the age of consent, told our government that they were pushed into having sex with these wealthy, powerful billionaires, leaders of countries, you name it. So here's the question to the FBI. Did you charge any of them? Right? I mean, if you went to the FBI tomorrow and said, look, I got to tell you something about Garland. What? He kidnapped me. He beat me. He raped me. He robbed me. I watched him stab four people and kill them. He threw a guy out the window and he kicked the dog. Well, you know, I'm going to jail for kicking a dog. Yes, Michael, but you can get away with killing people. You kick a dog, you're going to jail. But my point is this. If you went to the FBI, you don't think they'd knock on my door? Hello, Garland. Yes, it's the FBI. We've got allegations that you kicked the dog. We're coming in to talk to you, and we're going to charge you with a crime. Don't you think that would happen? Do you think the FBI would just put those things aside and never, ever bring it up again? And when somebody says, I'm requesting to see the list of what happened to Garland, do you think they'd say, oh, no way, there is no list? No, they wouldn't. So we ask ourselves, oh, by the way, one other thing about Epstein. Epstein was visited by at least two, possibly three, former prime ministers of Israel. Ehud Barak, Ehud Olmert, they came to his house. Prime ministers of Israel came to his house. One might look at that and say, I think he's an Israeli spy. In fact, I think he's a U.S. and Israeli spy, and MI6 too. So the evidence, if you look at it, is overwhelming. Epstein was not just some bad guy who was having sex with children and having children Diddy-style sex parties. No, it's far worse than that. The government of the United States and the government of Israel, and in all likelihood, at least the government of Britain, were involved in child trafficking for sex. Think about this now. United States government of Israel, involved in child trafficking for sex. And now they're covering it up. Now, as I always say, I know if you hate Trump, you're going to blame all the tribal Trumps in blah, blah. If you hate Biden, blah, blah, blah. Let me just give you a reality. The arrest, all the stuff that happened with Epstein and the ultimate demise of Epstein happened in 2019, right? Okay. Trump, I'm sure Trump is in it. I'm sure his numbers, and I'm sure he was doing all kind of unthinkable deeds. So he probably ain't going to let him out. But even if he wasn't in it, he wouldn't be able to release that stuff. Don't fool yourself and think if Trump's name wasn't in it, that he would release it. No, he wouldn't. Here's an example. This happened in 2019, right? Joe Biden came in 2020. Didn't he have the House? Didn't he have the Senate? And didn't they have the White House? It never crossed Joe Biden's mind to release the Epstein victims list, did it? Then the Republicans came in. Why, they could have squeezed Joe Biden when they came in 2022 and 2023 and 2024, or 2023, 2024, when they came in and they were in the Congress. Couldn't they have squeezed Joe Biden and said, Biden, release it? But they didn't, didn't they? Did they? No, they didn't. Because the Republicans are not going to release the Epstein list. And the Democrats are not going to release the Epstein list. If they released the Epstein list, the American people would say, you mean to tell me that my government is involved in child trafficking, child prostitution, blackmail, graft, corruption? Well, let me say this. You left out assassinations because they're always involved in that. So you can get mad at, you blame it on Trump. Oh, Trump's name is in it. Yeah, of course his name's in it. Anyone who was in power, they thought would be power, they thought had a lot of money, they said, come on over here. We got some young girls for you, or God forbid, in some instances, I'm sure young boys. But whatever the case, they had some people underage for them. Everything was videotaped. And if the person ever stepped out of line, let's say, for instance, there was a genocide going on and the person were to say, hey, I don't think this is a good idea. I'd like to speak out about the genocide. Well, somebody might then say to them, you know, we got some videotapes of you from 2012 at the Epstein Island. So you might not want to say anything about the genocide, at which point the person would say, what genocide? I don't have any idea what you're talking about. There's no genocide. Hamas, October 7th. That's the way it works, my friend. It's some of the rich and powerful people that won't say anything about this ongoing genocide. You best believe they're compromised. A lot of them are compromised. Some of them aren't. Some of them are just plain evil. But let me put those things together. For 1 second. And let me put the phone number out before anybody wants to call. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. And make sure you hold the phone to your ear. Do not set the phone down and wait to hear us on the radio or the computer because we have a 10-second delay. But if you hold the phone to your ear, there is no delay. So if you call and you're on hold, keep the phone to your ear. Let me put those two things together for a second. The government of the United States and Israel were involved in blackmail based on trafficking of children for sex. And now they're involved in genociding children. Traffic them for sex, kill them, raping them, because it's rape if you have if a person has sex with a child who's underage, it's rape because they're under the age of consent, which means if a person does not have the legal capacity to give consent, such as a person who is intoxicated under the influence of drugs or alcohol, a person who is a minor who does not have the legal authority to give consent, or a person who is mentally incapacitated, then it's considered rape. So our government was involved in child rape, child trafficking, and now they're genociding children. I'm just throwing that out there. And I'm going to go somewhere with that. 202-588-0893. Let me go somewhere with that. You know, as a Black person, if I look at the issue of reparations and I say, well, geez, the Jewish people, a lot of Jewish people and a lot of Zionists in Israel and different people got reparations for what happened during the Holocaust. And even now there's some more people going after bank accounts, Swiss bank accounts based on what happened in Germany the Holocaust and stuff. So I look at Japanese people that were interned in camps during World War II, and they got reparations. And I say, well, if all of those people have a right to reparations, surely Black people have a good, strong legal case for reparations, right? It's no, I mean, come on. But let me say something to Black folks that's trying to get reparations. Forget it. Throw in the towel, ain't happening. Here's what I mean. Your government is involved in child rape, child sex trafficking, and genocide. If you think you're ever going to get justice, reparations, or anything from these jokers, you are sorely misled. You know what that would be like? Do you ever see Jurassic Park? Where in Jurassic Park, the people were, they're in these little trucks, and next thing you know, a big Tyrannosaurus Rex comes out, and it's biting people and swallowing them, rawr! And it's doing all this kind of stuff, right? He's a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and you're looking at this gigantic thing with all these teeth, and it's growling, and it's biting, and it's doing the things that you'd expect a Tyrannosaurus Rex to do if one was in front of you. Can you imagine if one of those poor, hapless people who happened to be in the path of that, who was running and hiding and diving under cars and sliding over cliffs, trying to get away from that Tyrannosaurus Rex, this foul, fanged beast. Can you imagine if one of them had looked at the other one and said, you know, I think maybe we can reason with this thing. Let's give it a shot. They would have been eaten instantly. They'd have said, excuse me, Mr. Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, all this biting people and walking around shaking things and all. I mean, you know, maybe we can live differently than that. Do we really all have to live like that? I understand you got to eat, but, you know, we're just here to go through the park. We brought some kids. What do you think, Mr. Tyrannosaurus Rex? You think they could bargain with a Tyrannosaurus Rex? No, they would be chomped up, eaten and swallowed instantly, because that's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It wouldn't be logical to expect a foul, fanged beast that bites people in half and swallows them to suddenly start negotiating to do the right thing, would it? And likewise, would it be logical to expect justice from a government that rapes, traffics, and genocides children? I would think that if somebody asked me, hey, Garland, what do you think the odds are? I'd say, well, what are they doing right now? Well, they're committing genocide, raping children, child trafficking, things like that, assassinations, propaganda, lying to the public, starting wars all over the place. I'd be like, yeah, well, that probably is not going to do real well there. I just, perhaps we'd have better luck trying to negotiate with a Tyrannosaurus Rex, or next time give it a shot with a Velociraptor. Hopefully that'll work. But as far as the U.S. government, they're criminals. It's a criminal government. It's time for Americans to wake up. Think about this. Again, 202-588-0893. Think about this. currently, if you look at from government to government, from president to president, what happens? They always have this massive tax cuts for the rich. The way our government works, our neoliberal government works, is this: tax cuts for the rich. And what do they usually do when they cut taxes for the rich? They cut social programs for the poor. Think about how that works. A government that, and they just start, that consistently takes money from the poor and gives it to the rich. Genocides, rapes and traffics children. I'm just saying, if you think you're going to get a fair deal or a bargain with them, you see the world a little differently than me. 202-588-0893. We've got some open lines. Maybe somebody disagrees. Let's go to our first caller. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Garland?
Oh, man, I'm I don't know what to say, Max. I'm just freaking out here, man. I'm freaking out.
Man, I'm over the Epstein stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I'll say this. Like, even as a Democrat, if Clinton could go down and Trump could go down, I'm cool with it. Like, I think that'd be great. But I don't, now that Trump's president, I don't even want the files released. I think we need like a young independent party candidate, and then we can release the Epstein file. Someone who's like under the age to where they could have even been associated with Epstein.
But wait a minute. Let me throw something at you, Max. Here's my issue. My issue is not whether it's Trump. Yeah, he's rotten to the core. Clinton, filthy. Well, I can name after name. We know what these people, kind of people, did. Here's my issue. The United States government was doing it. This is intelligence operation. This is a systemic thing. If both of those guys drop dead tomorrow, how rotten is a system that does this, Max?
I agree. I was just throwing that out more so because I kind of missed the beginning. I had to like run in somewhere real quick, so I missed kind of some of the stuff you were saying about the Epstein stuff. I wanted to talk to you about, like, some other stuff, honestly.
All right. Go ahead, man. I'm all ears, brother.
So my thing is, right, like, I agree with you on the sense that I'm just besides myself at this point. I wasn't necessarily happy before Trump became president again either, so it's not like I was just, like, I can't even say, like, I was necessarily, like, content. But I guess what I'm saying is if we look at things, like, metric-based, right, like foreign policy, you know, maybe things really haven't changed much, but would you agree that since Trump's taken office, that at least like domestically, we've definitely seen some kind of unprecedented things that we haven't seen, or would you disagree with me?
I don't know. Domestically, things are pretty crappy. I don't know. Like, for instance, what? Just give me an example. Look, first of all, let me say this. I ain't no fan of Trump. We get what about what we expect out of Trump, in my opinion. Trump is a guy he's kind of an old school, kind of a racist kind of dude, kind of a sexist kind of dude. I think he's losing his marbles, if you ask me. I don't think he's a particularly, let me be kind, charitable. He's not well read. He does not read books. He's not an intellectual. He shoots from the hip. And it's just, he's a pathetic excuse for a politician. I'll say this. He's not a good politician. And by the way, he has no whatsoever absolute disregard for telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of, I guess it's just like, I just think like, so more than ever, I think like with Trump in office, I'm not, look, you're a really smart guy. Like, that's why I like coming on here and talking with you, because I think you're very fluid of a lot of people that I listen to talk. You come very well prepared. You're definitely great as well. I just think like more than ever now, at least we're like under Trump, we're seeing like specific amendments. I'd say the amendment that protects rights to searches and seizures. I think habeas corpus. And I think possibly birthright citizenship as well are really under attack, and only from an executive standpoint, not even anything really happening within the legislature, just the Supreme Court kind of paving way for him to just carry on.
You know, I think really things started going downhill really bad The Patriot Act. That's when stuff really started going bad, I think. And it's been downhill from there as far as and that and the what was it called? The AUMF, the Authorization for the Use of Military Force, where basically Congress said the president can do anything he wants when it comes to foreign policy, attack anything he wants. At that point, Congress has a duty to oversight. And when Congress starts abandoning their constitutional duty for oversight. Not that they were that great at it, but starting that with the Bush years was where we started going downhill. When George Bush started going for what they called the unitary executive, which basically means a total dictatorship, that it was all downhill from there, that we've been on a downward slide since then.
I don't disagree with you there because on some of it, like the part about like the Bush we've been downhill. You know, I mean, they took budget surpluses and then they ran the debt, and like you said, the Patriot Act, and you know, Congress just kind of abandoning their oversight. I guess I just think more than ever, like with Trump, I mean the stuff like Alligator Alcatraz, that guy.
Oh, terrible stuff! I agree with you.
Yeah. And then the guy they brought back from El Salvador, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the charges are so bogus. Like the human smuggling charges that they're trying to get in with, and the child trafficking charges, they're whistleblowers from within the DHS that have all left are coming out saying that Trump has known that this guy hasn't committed any crimes, and known that the GFIS that was used to say he was MS-13, once it was actually cross-examined and further corroborated, proved that he most likely wasn't MS-13.
Well, so here's what I'll say. I got to get rid of it in a second, but I'll say this. Yeah, you ain't going to get me defending Trump. Trump's terrible, but my only opinion on Trump is this. I'm not one into so much into individual politicians as saying Trump didn't come into American politics. He came out of American politics. Trump is an expression of the deterioration of American politics. When countries start to fall apart, when systems start to go to crap, they'll spit out some abomination like Trump. And if Trump drops dead enough tomorrow, believe me, there's another abomination like him, if not worse, waiting to come out. And I'll get you the last word.
Okay, I do agree he is probably like an awful symptom as well of what's happening. My final question, and you can answer.
Yeah, because we got a couple other ways. Go ahead.
Do you think come 2028, right? Because it's going to be close. The map's not looking good for the Dems. If the Dems barely win the presidency, do you think Trump will try, even though he can't run again, but whoever his MAGA is to replace him, if they lose, do you think Trump will try to weaponize the Department of Justice even further this time to call the election a fraud again and steal power for whoever he puts up to run?
So here's what I'll say. In 2016, the Democrats weaponized the Department of Justice to go after Trump for Russiagate, which was a bunch of crap. And I said it from the very beginning, and they're starting to release more information now to show. Donald Trump, will he weaponize it? Yes. Will the Democrats weaponize it? Yes. We have a deterioration where nobody loses
Don't
anymore.
you know the
I even
difference?
said this, let me say this. I said this before 2024. I said, whoever loses, and on this show, I said, I will guarantee you this. Whoever loses, if it's the Democrats or the Republicans, they will never admit it. In 2016, the Democrats says, "Oh, we didn't lose it. The Russians stole it." In 2020, Trump said, "Oh, I didn't lose it. They were putting ballots in the back of cars." In 2024, the Democrats, "Oh, Trump stole it." Nobody loses anymore. The only thing I
But
can
wait.
guarantee you is that whoever loses, they will say, "I was robbed and the other side stole it." Guaranteed.
What? But so my follow-up to that would be, but don't you think there's a little bit of a difference in the sense that the Democrats still certified when they lost? Like, Trump actually tried to, like, have state legislatures circumvent that process and his vice president. So there's, like—
Well, that's a— that we're getting into the weeds now, so I can't tell you what will happen in the details. I can simply say whoever loses will never say I lost. Anyway, thanks a lot, Max. I certainly appreciate the call every week and appreciate you listening to the show. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Uh-oh. Our next caller is not there.
Is
Darn.
that me?
All right. Do we have another call? Okay, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
I hope it is. What's happening, me?
Oh, this is Louise in Baltimore. Hi.
Oh, I know. I would know your voice anywhere, Louise. I know you. I know it was you. That's why I was joking, saying, yes, me.
Oh, okay. hi. The reason why I was calling is because to respond to you're saying that the Democrats and the Republicans both could have released the Epstein files and they didn't. Well, that's
No. And I said something different. I said neither one of them could release it. That's what I didn't say they both could have.
Oh,
I said
yeah,
neither
okay,
of them could have released
okay.
it.
Okay, because they're both implicated. Okay, but I'd like to put it back on what you keep saying about how people voted for Trump because of economic reasons and blah blah blah, not because of racial reasons. But that's what Trump was saying. That's the reason why supposedly people voted for Trump, and the reason why they're upset with him now is because the Democrats nor the Republicans released the files, even though everybody was calling for the release of the files. And then Trump said, well, if I become president, I will release the files. And it turns out that he's not going to do what he said he was going to do, which I don't know why anybody is surprised by this. And I don't know why these people that voted for him for that would think that a convicted felon and a predator himself was going to release the files. And my whole thing is that it was racialized, because whenever Trump gets in trouble, he always brings out, the tropes, the Asians eating dogs. Now he's in trouble. Now he's saying that he's going to release, he has released the MLK files, and he's starting to other racial tropes. So including the Abreu Garcia case. Now the only reason he's doing that is because he knows that his people, the MAGA people, are so racist that they're going to sit up there and they're going to be like, yeah, all these Hispanics and Haitians and all these other immigrants of color are criminals, and he has to keep saying that they're criminals even though they're not, because it's not that many criminals that he said that there were in the United States that they have to go after.
Let me comment and now let's get back. A couple of things. Mm-hmm. Number one, I don't believe that the Democrats or the Republicans can't release the Epstein files because they're in it. I believe they can't release the Epstein files because their masters are in it, because the people who pay their bills, the people who give them money and keep them in power are in it. It's not that they're in it. See, the people in the White House and the Senate and the Congress and the House of Representatives, they're not the power. They are the puppets for those who have the power. So the people who are in it are their masters. And when you are Senator so-and-so, I have, let's just say back in when I was more involved in politics, met some high-ranking politicians and met the people who funded them. I come to find out, if you go into every state, you know who the power politician in every state, the most powerful politician in the state is not the governor. It's the senior senator. Find out who's funding the senior Senate senator. You'll find out where the power base is, right? I've been involved in that kind of stuff before. So it's not the issue is not Trump or Clinton being in it. The issue is not senators or Congress. It's the people that pay for them, the billionaires, the real money. That's who's in it. And their job is to protect those people. And if they don't protect them, they won't be in the White House. They won't be in the Senate. They won't be in Congress. I will say this about Trump voters. When I said a lot of people voted for him for financial, economic issues, I used to teach criminal justice. And one of the things I taught is about crime. And I would teach this stuff about why do people commit crimes? And I used to say this. There's as many reasons for people to commit crimes as there are crimes. There's people who do it because they're desperate. There's people that do it because they're poor. There's people who do it because they're just sociopathic lunatics. There's people that do it for many reasons. So we can narrow it down and say they voted for Trump because of race, or they voted for Trump because of finances, or they voted for Trump because of foreign policy. There's many different groups that voted for Trump for different reasons. But I think the MAGA people, the MAGA, the foundational MAGA group, they expected Trump. He told them that he was going to spill the beans on the Epstein list. Now, sadly, they believed him. He was lying the whole time. But now they're finding out that he lied. And it really seems to me that based on what I'm looking at, a lot of MAGA people are not happy with Trump. Because he promised him he'd do it, and he never intended to do it. And not only does he not do it, this is a hilarious thing to me, for those who believe Trump was telling them the truth, that Trump will just say, there is no Epstein list. In a way, it's pathetic. But Trump's a guy who just doesn't care. He has a total disregard. If you ask him, did you say this yesterday, Trump? Nah, I didn't say it. He don't care if he said it. He don't care. He doesn't care. He'll just say there is no list. I think it's kind of hilarious in a way when I look at the MAGA supporters and I'm like, well, you believe them. But by the same token, when people believe the Democrats, I kind of look at them the same, like you actually believe these genocidal child raping lunatics. But anyway, go ahead, Louise.
Yeah, and the talking heads of the Democrats are still talking about the Clinton years and how great the Clinton totally tone deaf. But what I was saying, what I said last time is we're not their constituents. Their constituents are the people who are controlling them. And therefore, that's the reason why they don't answer to us, because, you know, it's the big money interest, it's the dark money, and all the people that control that is who they are basically controlling them, or basically they're the ones that they're answering to. So,
you're right. Can I throw one more thing at you before you go, Louise? One last thing I want to throw at you. Here's what I find. Roland Martin comes out the other day. He's mad at Black people for not voting for Kamala, right? The concept of top-down politics, the concept that says the masses have to support the person at the top, not, gee, I wonder what Kamala or the Democrats could have done differently to attract the people. For instance, maybe they could have stopped committing a genocide. I'm sure that would have helped. If you look at the numbers, 30% of the people that voted for Biden that didn't vote for Kamala Harris said it was over Gaza. But they won't. But Roland Martin says no. They had to vote for her anyway. These darn people. The Democrats are in a world of trouble because they don't seem to understand that it's their job to attract the voters, not that the voters have some duty to vote for them, regardless of whether or not they're committing a genocide or if they do absolutely anything for them or keep their word. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why they're not doing anything. Donna Brazile, she goes on the Sunday shows and talks about the Clinton years, you know, and she knows that's problematic. And then, you know, that is the reason why they're tone deaf. Because they just cannot see. They think that everything is as usual. When everybody was mad about the genocide, they had the talking heads go on the show saying, "Oh, they're mad, but they'll come around. They'll vote for us anyway once they find out what the choices are." And it didn't pan out that way. But they're still delusional in that delusional state. That's what I said, that even if everybody's mad at the Republicans and mad at Trump and all of them for what they're doing, the Democrats are still the Democrats think that they're going to be able to go in that avenue or go in that lane and then get elected and get the majority again, let them think again, because that's...
I'll say this, Louise, I'm not so sure. They may believe that. It's not that people will come out and vote for Trump or come out and not vote. There's a lot of people that'll just stay home. There's a lot of people that just will say, well, I'm going to vote for Thurlow. I'm not going to vote, or I'll vote for Jill or whatever. They don't take into account. And then after they lose, then they get mad at the voters. Like, how dare you not vote for me? And I'm like, oh, that's a great strategy. There we go. Anger the voters. And then when they don't vote for you, chastise them. Let me know how that works out. It's idiotic, but. Oh, you know what? Guess what? I'd say, and then people tell me, yeah, they should have voted for Kamala. You know what I say? Run her again. Run her again. And if she's such a great candidate, I thought she was the worst candidate I ever saw in my life at any level. That was my opinion. But if you think she was a great candidate and she should have won, give it another round. Now, I'm going to guess and say she'll probably lose, but if you're that confident, throw her out there again, and then you can say, how did she lose to J.D. Vance? They must have stole it. It was the Russians. It was something. I don't know. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yo, Mike from D.C., brother, always say you work with these politicians, you get nothing out of them because they're all nothing but they are loyal to their they class. That's all they're loyal to. They could care less about you. But since, brother, that you used to work for law enforcement, I got a question I'd like to ask you, brother. When you work for law enforcement, since you used to work for them, when the marshals and sheriffs come out to evict a senior citizen, did they act like they have a sense of joy doing it?
You know, I never really was involved in evictions or anything like that, so I don't know. And where I saw, sheriffs do it or anything like that, I would hope not. But I don't have a lot of confidence in law enforcement these days. I don't know. I mean, I've never was involved in anything like that. Thank goodness.
Yeah, because I had a senior citizen family member. She kind of went through hell this weekend. The bosses came and bang on her door. Now, she is a 79-year-old woman. They
Oh
came and
my
bang
goodness.
on her door. They didn't even at least give her the opportunity to get her little savings so she could have put a little stuff in the storage, man. But I guess when it comes to, these stormtroopers in PG County, Wes Morris people, since he's the governor and the buck stops with him, by not at least having, you would think that Governor Wes Moore would tell his little stormtroopers, if you come across a feral senior citizen that can't even defend herself, at least allow her to go back and get her savings so she can put her stuff in the storage bin. And Lord knows,
Well,
I found out that these stormtroopers walked off with a hand truck. So
let me say this too. And
they took a hand truck.
well, and here's the other part of it. And when you get to the point where the senior citizen is getting put out on the street, the sheriffs that come there are the last part of the system. You ask yourself, we got a country that what did they spend trying to fight losing to the Houthis in the Red Sea? Like $10 billion in 30 days. Every time I turn around, we're sending, oh, we need to send another 20, 40, $50 billion to Israel. We need to send $500 million of weapons more to Ukraine. Oh, another $120 million. We have money. We got 900 bases. How much does it cost? We're building 15 bases right now in Finland. We're building bases on one base, one hundreds of millions of dollars. We're building on some base in the Pacific where the island is so small it doesn't even have a name. We have unlimited money for the war machine. Unthinkable amount of money for the war machine. But we never got a dime for the social safety net that would stop a 79-year-old woman from getting thrown out on the street. That's what I think about, Mike.
Well, and you would think that these elected officials, like good old Governor Wes Miller, will have policies for senior citizens, veterans, and disabled, especially these veterans, that if they happen to get evicted, that they have policies that if you get evicted, we'll put your stuff in storage for at least about 90 days. That's the least we could do for senior citizens, veterans, disabled. Or if they do a basic universal income, that solves the problem. But people like good old Governor Wes Moore, Mayor Bowser, and the less of these so-called black elected officials that people are supposed to worship because they're black. Now, Mayor Bowser got this stadium deal going on right now. And a lot of poor people worried about, well, wait a minute. You build that new stadium, it's going to be more black people gentrify out in the neighborhood. Oh, no, this stadium is going to provide more jobs. And they always come up with the same old thing, the same old game. Well, we renovate the neighborhood. We build up really nice. But then everything starts going up. You're kicked out of your house. You're kicked out of your apartment. But yet you're still supposed to worship the ground these greedy elected officials walked on, because a lot of things, especially with these developers, they get paid for that. Oh, and they get to live the lifestyle and laugh just how stupid the registered voters are, believing that these gutless, greedy, hypocrite elected officials care about you, because we forget that they work for us. We don't work for them. So because the mainstream news media brainwashed the people to look at these elected officials as the worst thing on this planet, a brainless, gutless celebrity. They're not elected officials, they're the celebrities. So you're supposed to worship the ground they walk on, and this is the reason why they don't do anything anyway, because them people will talk bad about them, and they won't go out and vote and put somebody in there that's going to do something for them.
Well, Mike, let me say this.
From New York City, did you see the fear they got with that guy from New York? They're terrified that guy is going to win.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, is to understand, and that is they don't work for us. You know what I mean? They work for the billionaire class. And a lot of these big city mayors, and I hate to say it, black mayor, but all of them, black, white, green, white, gray, and grizzly. These big city mayors, they get in office, and what they're planning on doing, Mike, is this. They get in office so they can feather their nest and make the real money when they get out of office. They get in office, they do what the powerful people want them, they give the contract where they're supposed to do, they privatize what's supposed to be privatized. They do what the developers want to do, right? That's just a place for them to sit as their mayor for 4 years, 8 years, however many years they're in. When they get out, that's when they get their reward. That's when they get their job. So that's just, they just marking time, looking out for their rich masters for X amount of years as the mayor. And then when they get out, that's when they get the real money.
Well, you know they hated Marion Barry because Marion Barry was the only mayor in the District of Columbia that was really trying to help people. He made a lot of black people rich, getting them contracts.
Yes, he did.
That normally would have went to the white people, but when a lot of them that he made rich, then they start acting like hypocrites. They start getting, they don't want to help nobody. Then they'll run out of D.C. and go somewhere else. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Mike. Certainly appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. We got any calls right now? Nope. Okay. And let me say this. So we'll go to foreign policy. I'll go to foreign policy next. See Ukraine. Well, if you know, been paying attention to anything I said on the show, I've said for a while, it's, you know, I don't even understand this. Ukraine never had a chance of winning. There was never a hope. There was never a prayer. There was never a thought that the Red Army, the Russian Army, the army that defeated Napoleon, the army, did you know, most people don't know this, World War II, 83% of all German soldiers that were killed by the Russian Red Army. They faced 80% of the German military attacked Russia, and we had the remnants that we fought, the rest of us fought, and they defeated them. And for those who thought that the Russians was going to lose the Ukraine, they do not have an understanding of military history. The Russians fight slow, they fight deliberately, and they don't lose. And their people, yes, we must support the Ukraine. And all along I said, if you want to support Ukraine, you need to support some kind of a deal, any kind of a deal. Otherwise, Ukraine will be smashed to bits. There is no possible way that the Russians are going to allow NATO and the Americans to build bases in Ukraine, to put soldiers in Ukraine. There's no way in the world that the United States would allow Russia and China to start building bases in Mexico. Perhaps you should look at history and the Cuban Missile Crisis. If China and Russia started building bases in Mexico, the United States would blow them to smithereens and they'd attack. And if the U.S., if the Russians and the Chinese built a million-man army in Mexico and started digging entrenchments and aiming missiles at the U.S. would attack. And that's what happened. The United States overthrew the government of Ukraine, started building up this big military, and the Russians in December of 2019 sent a message. And the message said, we got to talk. We got to have a deal. Otherwise, there's going to be a war. And the United States' answer was, that's not even a starting point. And then the Russians attacked Ukraine. Well, okay, the United States came up with a lot of rhetoric. Oh, they want to attack all of Poland and the Red, and they want to rebuild the Soviet Union. All a bunch of crap and lies. But the truth is, the United States and NATO expanded up to the Russian border, and the Russian Russians said, if you expand up to our border, it's going to be a war. We expand up to their border. Everybody knew that in 2008, the Russians said it. You come in Ukraine, that's a red line. There's going to be a war. And the U.S. was pretending like they didn't know it. So now the war is there. And now Ukraine is getting smashed to pieces. Now, my question, which for some reason, I don't know about Americans. I don't know about Americans. I don't even know about my people, if they are my people. You know, I look at Americans and they're like running around with blue and yellow. I'm right around there's blue and yellow flags. Trust me when I tell you this. Blue and yellow flags ain't going to save you from the Russian army. Ain't going to do nothing. Everything's blue and yellow. Turn on the NBA game. They got blue and yellow in the background. Go to Walmart. Walmart has literally changed the Walmart colors to the color of the Ukraine flag. Everywhere you go. Go to New York City. The buses are the color of the Ukraine flag. I call it blue-yellow. The color of propaganda. A bunch of propaganda for another United States proxy war. That's what we do. We arm up some country full of arms, and then we send that proxy country into war. That's what we did with Ukraine, and Russia's going to smash it to pieces, and they were always going to smash it to pieces, and there was never a chance that they would do anything else. And the only thing we were doing was dooming Ukraine to be smashed to bits. And the United States knew it and did it anyway. And so now what? A catastrophic loss. The Russians are doing. Sadly, the Ukrainians are cannon fodder for the U.S. empire. But they're just going to get smashed to bits because they're not fighting. Ukraine ain't fighting for Ukraine. There is no Ukraine. Ukraine is a United States proxy. You know, I should actually air some of my interviews. I mean, a guy named Andrei Telezhenko, he was part of the Ukrainian government when the U.S. came in and told me I've interviewed him all about what happened. He worked with the Bidens. He worked with a lot of people. So here we are, the United States supporting the Ukrainian government, so-called, and Ukraine's going to get smashed to pieces and it's going to be a catastrophic loss. And then what? What are the United States' options? I know, we'll go in and fight the Russians. Well, that means nuclear war and we all die. Is that a good option? Hey, we'd rather die and kill the entire world than allow what was inevitable from the very beginning, that Ukraine was always going to lose. There was never a chance they were going to win, and there's not a chance they're going to win now. And nobody that knew anything about geopolitics or military history had any thoughts that they were really going to win, that they were somehow going to defeat the Russian army. And now they're just being smashed to pieces, and that's what's going to happen. And what the United States should do is contact the Russians. The Russians are already saying, yeah, we'll talk, and say, what do we need to sign so that no more Ukrainians get smashed? And we got a list. Here's the truth. In fact, I think I still have it on my computer from December of 2019. I've got a list. Let me read you the list. Well, there was a list that came from the Russians. One, no further NATO expansion. Two, no deployment of U.S. forces or weapons in certain countries. Three, a ban on intermediate range missiles. Four, limit military maneuvers and activity on each other's borders. Five, nuclear weapons restriction. Six, a mutual security pledge. Seven, establishment of consultation measures. And eight, indivisibility of security principle. Those are the eight things. I got it right here. That in December of 2019, the Russians sent a memo to NATO and the United States and said, we need to talk about these things. We need some kind of a security deal. Otherwise, there's going to be a war in Ukraine because you ain't building bases on our border without a fight. Oh, you can stay in Ukraine, but you're going to have to fight to stay there. And here we sit now where the U.S. is on the verge of a catastrophic loss in Ukraine. And at the same time, we're committing a genocide and starving people to death. One of the most heinous, horrible crimes I could ever imagine. Thanks to my main man, Kalia. If you want to get in touch with me, follow me on Telegram. Follow me on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. And Instagram, garland.nixon, Garland Nixon. You can email me. My email address is my first name and the first letter of my last name, garlandn@gmail.com.